We've been learning about extraordinary grace. Last time I was with you, the Lord wanted me to bring a word to you concerning there will be a performance, and it was his performance. I'm so thankful that that word came even before the extraordinary grace came, because we understand that grace is an unmerited favor, and we don't deserve it. It's not because of what we've done or what we can do or what we will do, but grace has been bestowed upon us by a loving Father, and so we love him. And so that performance is his performance. And so therefore, if we operate in extraordinary grace, then it is his performance that brings these things to pass. The Lord began to put on my heart as I was sitting there Sunday, and further, longer than that, but Sunday when I was sitting there, the Lord told me what to bring to you today. And there's opposition to accepting the reality that God is bringing us into. And I want to deal with the opposition of that. So I'm talking to you today about it has to move. This is the topic, and we're talking about mountains, but I want to give understanding on mountains today, and I'm going to do my best to teach this word in the time allotted. But I want to give you understanding about mountains, because and that was worship, so start the clock now. No, it's fine. But that was still worship. But I want to help us understand this opposition and deal with the opposition that has been impacting us from operating in extraordinary grace, even as we get more understanding and knowledge concerning grace, which is so important. I want us to be people who operate in it, a people who operate in that grace, and not those who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. The knowledge of truth is action. And so we're shifting out of ever learning and coming into the knowledge of truth. And God is pushing us forward. Now, before I get you hype about the mountains moving out of your life and dealing with mountains or even educating you on what mountains are, I want to start in 1 Corinthians 13 and start in chapter 13, verse 2. It's very important that we start here, and before we go into power and to operation and to dealing with these structures that may that need to be tossed into the sea. One version says into yonder place. Before we deal with that, we have to get grounded in this. And it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Nothing means not anything. He said, I am nothing. Though I prophesy and I understand all the mysteries and I have all knowledge and I have faith that can move mountains and remove mountains, and not have love or charity, I am nothing. Me, nothing. I have been personified as nothing. Not anything, no single thing. That means not operating out of love. We can't do ministry in partiality. And so that means there is no point of existence in you if it's not coming out of this place. Having no, this is big and this is important, house, having no prospect of progress, no value. Mm-hmm. Without charity, there is no prospect of any singular aspect of what you do, even by faith, that amounts to anything connected to value. Without faith, we know it is impossible. But I need you to hear me clearly. just because you have faith does not mean that you're pleasing to him. When we deal with breaches in faith, understand this is not putting cushions together. Sometimes we got to hammer some things in place. And so understand this. Yes, you've had faith, but faith is impossible to please God without faith, but that is not putting you in his pleasure. You just needed to ever be able to please him. And so a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. A lot of us say, well, I love, but you don't understand. No, he said, you love one another as I have loved you. That means I have to take the radical love of God that has been dispensed to me, the grace that has been released to me, the mercy that I receive day after day that's new every morning. And when I look at you, I have a responsibility, if I'm going to be known, to give you that same measure of love that I received from him. That love has an integrity. That love comes without conditions and preconceived notions. That love moves and shakes and shifts. That love goes through your own faults. That love perseveres through the offense and the desires of others that would despitefully use you. That love goes through the abuse that you received over the years. That love pursues. That love is relentless. That love never stopped to get you into that seat today. That's the love. That's the standard. If you want to be known, if you would be known as my disciples, this is how you can be a worker of iniquity but never be known. Well, Lord, I cast out demons in your name. Lord, I did miracles in your name, but I didn't know you. Yes, you did it because there was a principle of faith, and you had the faith to move the mountains, but I didn't know you. You were nothing. You did things, but you put your identity in things, and I didn't know you. Love disrupts deception. And this is why we're convinced by accurate prophecies, but there's no heart of God flowing through his body. And I'm telling you, we need his heart, because you can't make proclamations of his blood if the heart's not pumping it. It's a breach of faith that would allow you to do great things or lifelike things but still be dead and unknown. It's a breach of faith. It's a breach of faith. There's a disconnection. There's an unfinding of your reality. It's an unfinding of your identity. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? And so now that we have a foundation, because we don't want to be those who move mountains but are nothing. Let's talk about what mountains are. We're going to Ezekiel 6, reading verse 1. My God, thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel. Before I give you the popular scripture, we're going to understand what these mountains are. Set thy face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. Prophesy against the mountains? Yeah, prophesy against the mountains. And say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. This declaration right now. Even though I'm reading, that declaration is happening right now. You mountains, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills and to the rivers and to the valleys. Behold, I will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places. These high places are places that were built for the worship of other deities. In God's mountains, But they were built up to worship something else. There was something else in the mountains. There was something else in the hills, in the valleys, in the rivers that were clamoring and desiring of worship to be released to them. And his people were obliging. And he said, and your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. He's not just dealing with the statues, he's dealing with the man. And I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, their idols, their idols. And I will scatter your bones round about your altars. These bones that were scattered around these mountains are the same very bones in Ezekiel 37 that God sent them and said, can these bones live? But death was because of idolatry. But grace wanted to revive the bones. I understand. It was grace that wanted to revive the bones. It was idolatry that stopped them from being known. I labored this week to submit my heart to love you, not to preach, to be heard, or to have a good message, or it be my turn. Because what's the point of being here if I can't love you and I can't see you? It's important that we understand what the mountains are. That they were these habitations for false worship. That they were these demonic structures that were set up, that were taking the affection of his people from him. And not only the affection, but they were releasing their works and bringing oppression into the land in bondage. And once we understand what mountains are, we can move into a place of comprehension. The importance of comprehension is that comprehension brings about the opportunity for mastery. Mastery for the kingdom looks like dominion. And so there was a light that came into the world that darkness comprehended not. That means darkness had no mastery over it. It had no comprehension. It had no way to manipulate it or move it. And that's the light that is the life of men that we should be operating out of when we minister. But it's a light that darkness could not comprehend. And so now we're coming and we're understanding what mountains are, that it's not just this fantasy scripture and Jesus was just having a fantasy moment with his disciples talking about, hey, if you believe enough, just throw the mountain into the sea. Just send it to yonder place. No, he was talking about demonic structures that came. Let me show you. Matthew 17, 19 through 20. Let's read. And then he says this. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? We quote verse 20 a lot. But verse 19 starts with a question. His disciples, those who were known by him because they were committing themselves to love like him, came to him and said, why could we not cast this out? There was a demoniac boy who would throw himself into the fire and then into the water. It was a demon of confusion. He didn't know if he wanted fire or water. All he knew is that either I'm going to be burned or I'm going to drown. And they said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Watch this. This is the one I need you to get. And nothing shall be impossible to you. And so there has to be a movement of the mountains to step into the thing that's impossible. Now the impossible things become possible because the mountain has been removed. And so God's saying, listen, there's a few things to this that you got to get. If you want to move mountains, nothing will be impossible to you. Pay attention. But there has to be a removal of your idolatry because you will never evict what you love. You'll never get rid of what you love. And so if you got idolatry in your heart, you'll never speak to that mountain. If you're convinced of another doctrine or another way, if you're convinced of another idea or another word than what I sell you, if you're convinced that you're not healed, if you're convinced that you're dead, if you're convinced of anything that I haven't said to you, then you'll never cause that mountain to move. But if you tell it to move and you lay down your idols and you lay down your idolatry and you stop trying to do this thing to get something out of it, but it's out of the love of God being in your heart. If you stop ministering and prophesying because you feel gifted and that's the only way that you can be exalted or feel approved in your life, if you stop doing that and lay your life down for love's sake, then you can speak to a mountain. God's love doesn't come with conditions. Understand now, get the revelation of unconditional love. That means my love remains no matter what the condition is. And so does your love remain no matter what condition you're in? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let's translate that. If you love me, you'll hold on to what I said. Despite the conditions that you're in. If you love me, I don't care what your bank account says, let the poor say I'm rich. And if you love me, you just go around saying I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. Let the weak say I'm strong, I'm strong, I'm strong, I'm mighty, I'm mighty. I'm strong in you, God. I'm mighty in you, God, because I love you. I'm moving out of a place of love, and my love has convinced me that what you spoke has to be. It was love that convinced me. And so his love is not conditional. His providence is not conditional. He is pulling us into identity. But listen to this, church. I'm not going to rehash what I shared with you before, but pay attention to this. This is how God is pulling you into reality by causing you to have to speak to the mountain. God, won't you do it? God, will you did it? I already did it, but I'm causing you to speak. I'm putting a prerequisite on you to come into where I am and to who I am. I'm pulling you into my reality because no matter how much God does or has done, it is not what pulls you into reality. It doesn't convince your mind because now your mind can be shifted by the next condition. It doesn't matter how long your shoes lasted. It doesn't matter that man is coming. It doesn't matter that you've been walking all these years and every night there's been a pillar by fire supernaturally guiding your way. Every day there's been a cloud. Every day has been a cloud guiding you and leading you. But you still got a complaint in your heart because it's absent of love that disrupts the condition. He's drawing us into his reality. The primary thing you have to know and understand by these demonic structures in these mountains is that they are designed to restrict you from seeing beyond what is deemed possible. They're designed to restrict you from the freedom in God. And so you know you're dealing with a mountain when it looks like the discipline that God is bringing you into looks like restrictions of prison, and you're not seeing the freedom and the life in God's commands. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You're not seeing the freedom in his commandments. They look like restrictions to you. They look like an offense to you. Why I got to give all this up? Why I got to let that go? Why I got to stop here? Why can't I go there? Why can't? It's because it's not perfect love working in you. You're being moved by conditions. This ain't in my notes. Thank you, Father. The primary thing that you have to understand, these mountains, they're designed to stop you from seeing. There's a place in God that they restrict you from seeing, where the impossible things are now possible. And this faith affirmed by belief gives us access into that place. And so you have access. You have access to a substance to that thing that you have hoped for, and you have an evidence to the things that are invisible. And you begin now to see the expansion, and you begin now to see the territory, and you begin to see the truth, and you begin to see dominion in truth. You see beyond depression when you deal with the mountains. When the mountains move, you see beyond the depression. You see beyond the suicide. You see beyond the death. You see beyond limitations and restrictions, and you see freedom in God once the mountains are removed. Now we're moving into things when they are impossible, and we smile. Now there's a smile on our face when we embrace something impossible. Now there's a desire to charge forward when there's something that seems like it's too big for us, because we know who our God is. These mountains obstruct your view even to the possibility of your situation changing. It shows you borders that are too high to overcome. They give you the idea of something that is too fortified to break through. When dealing with mountains, you have to know who your God is. You have to be sure. You have to understand him. You have to know he's the same God that for Cyrus, somebody who did not even love your God, was not raised to love your God, he says, Cyrus, I'll level mountains for you. Why? Because of the grace and the love he had for his people. He said he would move mountains for a man who didn't honor him. Somebody needs to stop complaining about your president and trust your God. I don't care who in there, mountains got to move. Got to know who your God is. Let's go, Isaiah 45 and 2. Let's read it. I will go before thee. We're going to read the KJV version, and I'm going to give you translation. Stay with me. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And so these gates and bars that have been placed to restrict you, to stop you from going forward or moving, to stop you from accomplishing it, whatever it is that was intentional, whatever it is that's stopping you from accomplishing it, from stopping you from getting to the place that you're supposed to get. He's saying, I will break these bars. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in asunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by name, am the God of Israel. The Amplified and the NLT versions take the translation of crooked places being made straight, and it says, I will level the mountains. I will level every demonic structure that has set itself up to stop you from being and walking in what I've called you to walk in, from doing what I called you to do. I will level these mountains. And so the Lord is saying, I will go before you, Cyrus, and level these mountains. I will smash down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron for you. And so, Lord, what you did for Cyrus, I know you will do that for me. You're not a respecter of person, Lord God. Level the mountains for everybody in this sanctuary. Begin to level the mountains, every restriction, everything that's coming against their relationships, everything that's coming against their marriage, everything that's coming against their children's relationship with them, Father God. Level the mountains, move it, make the crooked places straight. I'm bringing into alignment what I promised you. Thank you, Jesus. Stay with me. Let's read Mark's account of this. This is really important. I need you to stay with me. I take my time on this, like the rest of my time. Mark 11 and 23. My God, I need you to get this. I need you to get this. Y'all doing all right out there? Okay. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Let me continue to demonstrate your love for your people today. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now, him saying sea, if you remember in Matthew, he said cast to yonder place. Mark's account of the sea is very interesting, why he said cast into the sea, the mountains being cast into the sea. And this is because Mark saw an example of that very thing happening. And so the wisdom was important from gospel to gospel, but Mark had to express the sea. He had to express this story by saying the mountains had to be cast into the sea. Let's continue. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. That's moving into this realm that what you say, even if it's impossible, will come to pass, because now the mountain has been tossed into the sea, which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have, he says. You deal with the mountains, it's tossed into the sea, then you say, you speak, and then you shall have what it is that you said. When we speak to mountains, they go from having rulership to having to drown. Mark is saying this in Mark chapter 11. But when we look at Mark 4 and Mark 5, because Mark is saying this out of experience and seeing a mountain be moved. What I'm talking about, he saw the mountain be moved. And so I don't know if you remember the story, but there was a time where Jesus came down from a mountain and he said, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. His men got into the boat. He gave them a word and declared to them that they were going to make it to the other side. They had an assignment on the other side. There was mountains that did not want them to get to the other side. And so mountains came into agreement with the sea and tried to stop them from getting to the other side. And so now the winds and the sea are starting to activate a storm. Many times the storm in your life is to stop you from getting to what God said. And how you respond determined where you will end up. You let the storm offset your navigational system. And so you didn't make it to the shores yet. Now you're still in waters, troubled waters, when God has determined for you to get to a specific place, but he'll let the storm teach you that you had enough authority to do what's needed to do once you get to the place that I'm sending you. Yeah. Y'all don't want to, listen. So they're on this boat and they're dealing with this storm and they began to panic and say, God, do you not care that we're going to perish? And so now they're bringing accusations to Jesus because he was on the boat asleep. And the winds and the waves are tossing the boat and they think, Oh, ye of little faith. And so now Jesus is speaking to them by their limited faith, but he was asleep during the storm so that they would understand that this manner of man that they're riding with has the authority to cause the winds and the waves to obey. Okay, and so now we're getting to the other side. Once they get to the other side, I know it was spiritual opposition because they sensed what was coming. What was coming was authority. What was coming to those shores was dominion. And so as soon as they get off the boat, the Bible says in Mark 5 that they were met by a man who was demon possessed. They were met by a man that was possessed with devils. When they explained that man, they say that this man was in the tombs and in the mountains. He had no doors. You don't understand how the storms that are presently in your life are certifying your authority for the shore. And so because they endured the storm, because the authority was expressed in the storm, the enemy knew that encased the mountain, he knew that he had to submit because another authority came. So Lord, he called him Lord, what would you have to do with us? What's your name? It is Legion, for we are many. And so the Legion in the mountains inhabited this man, and he was in chains in the tombs and in the mountains, cutting on himself until authority arrived. Watch this. Let's go through all of Mark 5 real quick, and I need you to get this. We're going to end with this. And so now Jesus speaks to the man. It wasn't a negotiation. It was a flex. It was a flex. His disciples, who were just scared for their lives in the sea, now had to see somebody who had legion in them bowing themselves to the authority of their Savior and saying, can you put us into the unclean thing? Can you put us into something that is unclean? We're unclean. Can you put us into something that's unclean? But not only did he put them into those pigs, but the pigs went into the... Okay. And so Jesus was dealing with the mountain. He was dealing with the mountain. And Mark knew that once they dealt with Legion, and I'm going to show you why, once they dealt with Legion, that they were actually dealing with the mountain of that region. They were dealing with the demonic structures in that region. And that's why Mark, he was so convicted to say that nothing would be impossible. Nothing at all would be an impossible after that mountain goes into the sea. There would be no limitations. Whatever you say, this is key. This is key. This is key. Listen to me. Whatever you say, it will be done as you say it. Watch this. And so Jesus leaves as the pigs go. The man goes into his right mind. He's fully clothed. I could preach on all this, but I got time. He's fully clothed, and he's in his right mind, and he goes about testifying of Christ. And as Christ is walking, listen, the number for government is 12. 12 is the number of government. And so as Christ is walking, this new government is established. The mountain is in the sea, which was representing the old government, the high places, the altars, all the spiritual activity was being governed by Legion. Legion is in the sea and Christ is walking. And then there's a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. She presses through the crowd. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch the hem of that authority, if I can just get close to this new authority is there and touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And so because that new government, the new 12 was there, a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years was now healed of all of her issues. Jesus was touched by that woman on his way to heal a daughter of a man who was, his daughter was dead. The daughter was 12 years old. And he's on his way to heal the daughter. And they said that the daughter is dead. He's on his way to do resurrection work. He's on his way to do the work of resurrection. And they say, Master, my daughter is dead. And when he walks into the house, he says, she's not dead. She's just asleep. Because once the mountains remove, whatever you say. Hey, listen. When the mountains removed, it's whatever you say. And so now there's a dead child there, but Christ comes in. He's not lying. She's not dead. She's asleep. Stop crying. He's pulled them out of sorrow. Stop crying. She's asleep. And a girl, 12 years old, dead, is now alive. Now she's woke up. And I'm speaking you today. Speaking to all of you today, it's not dead, it was just sleep. I'm commanding you to wake up today. I'm commanding you to wake up today. This is today. Every dream, everything that you laid down, everything that you considered dead, everything that you've been hoping for, everything that you stopped speaking on, everything that caused your importunity or your much asking of God to stop or to cease, I'm telling you to wake up right now. The church has need of what you have. The church has need of your purpose. The church has need of your destiny. Wake up. Wake up out of depression. Wake up out of those suicidal thoughts. I'm commanding you to wake up. You've learned of extraordinary grace, but now we command every mountain to move that has been opposition to movement. We command every mountain to move that is opposition to sight. Yeah. We command the mountains to move. We step into our authority, into our rightful place. The enemy loves when you come onto the shores and they can convince you to cower. It knows your authority, but it loves when you don't. God is dismantling barriers and restrictions. And he's raising up an army.